Thank you for that warm, warm welcome. And boy, after hearing my husband introduce me, I kind of want to meet myself. It's awesome. And it is such a privilege to be able to come before a congregation that loves us. And we truly, I want you to know how much we feel your love. So many of you, as Pastor has already shared, have come to us and have just blessed us with your prayers and your support and cards and other blessings, where you've just helped us with praying for his brother Philip. And that just means the world to us to know that we have our family here. And we really felt sent by you this past week to be able to be with him. And that was a blessing. So thank you, sweetheart, for that introduction. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. So glad and excited to be able to be here. Well, we are going to talk about Deborah, a mother in Israel today. That's the title of my message. So would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word today and turn to Judges 4, verses 1 through 9. Judges 4, verses 1 through 9. Have you got your Bibles handy? Shake it around a little bit. Scare the devil. Some of you have got your phones that have your little Bible app on it. I love that. That's awesome. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and it says this. Starting in verse 1, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. Now, Ehud was a judge, okay? So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now, Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troop, to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Then verse 8, Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh. And indeed, the Israelites are given victory over their enemies. And in the end, Deborah sings a song of victory, worshiping the Lord for what he's done. And so if you turn over the page to Judges 5, I'm going to read just a few portions here, verse 3, 7, and 31. Verse 3 says this, "Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song." Verse 7, "Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel." Verse 31 says, "So may all your enemies perish, Lord, but may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength." Then the land had peace 40 years. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we are so grateful for your word. We are grateful that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, that it pierces between bone and marrow. It cuts to the heart of who we really are, Lord, and it tells us what we need to know. I ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us this morning. Make your word alive and living and active in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Over the last several months, Pastor Brooks has been doing a wonderful series. What has that series been? All right, Postcards from God. Now, does anybody remember? It's been so long ago. I feel like I've got to, like this. Okay, it's okay. Does anybody remember why he called it that? Because the books were what? Short, but they still had an important message, right? Absolutely. And since I'm coming into the middle of this series, you can kind of think of this message as a post-it note from God. Message one in a series of one. So, a post-it note. I love Post-it notes. Anybody else out there love Post-it notes? Can you remember, how many of you are old enough to remember when Post-it notes came into being? In about the 1980s. They were awesome. Before that, you actually had to take a piece of tape and put it on there. I can remember my mom was like the note person. How many of you in your family, you're the note person? There's like these stuck all over the place, yes? My mom had notes in our lunch. She had notes on the refrigerator. They were stuck on the counter if we came home, and she had a note for us. They were on the laundry. If you know, she told us to put laundry. There was the instructions right there. Post-it notes. Love it. Totally love it. In fact, if she was here, she would love to have this as a gift for Mother's Day. So, love Post-it notes. So, since Post-it notes, though, are used to get our attention, and I love these brightly colored ones they have now, let's look back at Judges 4 and check out some important truths that God wants to post right here on our heart today. He wants to post them right here. So, let's look and see what he has to say. First of all, who's the main character in our story? Deborah, right? And who was she? She was a judge in Israel. In fact, she was the fifth in a line of judges that God raised up to lead Israel. And her name in Hebrew actually means bee, as in busy as a bee, okay? And so do we have any Deborahs or Debbies in the house today? I know I see a few of you. So you can be excited about this. I know it's like, okay, my name means bee. What's that about? But actually, in the ancient culture, I want you to know that this symbolized industry, patience, wisdom, and usefulness. So how fantastic is that, right? You're awesome. So that's pretty exciting. So now to give you a little bit of background, how many of you enjoy history? How many of you really hated history growing up? Yes, I've talked to my kids about this a little bit, and I've explained to them the importance of history. We need to know why things were done, because if we don't know, won't we just make the same mistakes over and over and over again? So this is important that we know this. So here's some background. The judges led Israel between the time of Moses and Joshua to the time of Saul, who was the what? The first king, okay? So remember, Moses led the people of Israel out of where? Out of Egypt. And then who was his successor? Joshua. Joshua followed him, and he was actually the one who led them where? Into the promised land, right? And before Joshua died, remember when Joshua comes into leadership, they have all the people come together. They're supporting Joshua. They're saying, you need to stand firm. Don't be fearful. You need to follow in the ways of Moses. And they commit themselves. Remember, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. And he makes that commitment before the people. But not only that, the people then make a commitment to Joshua and to serving the Lord. And they did. They were faithful to that. So now it's time for Joshua's death. Okay, and he wants to make sure that the people are going to continue. See, now they're in the promised land, all right? But do you know what? Sometimes when God brings us into that promised land, that thing that we've been waiting for, sometimes it's then that we can have even more difficulty. Sometimes it's then that we've got to really watch out because we can fall away. And so this is what he says in Joshua 24, verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Jump down to verse 16. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. Verse 22. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Verse 23, now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey him. But the problem was, they didn't. They didn't. And by verse 1 of Judges 4, they are in a hot mess. All right? Judges 4:1, let's look back at that again. It says, again, everybody say again, Lord deliver us from the agains, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord now that Ehud was dead. Ehud was a judge. Now they're getting into the same issue once again. And so the Lord sold them in the hands of Jabin. Who was he? Was Jabin? He was the king of Canaan. who was reigned in Hazor. And so Sisera, all right, he's the commander now of this army. He's got 900 iron chariots, all right? And you've got to know that this was the Iron Age. This was a time when the Canaanites were taking all of the iron. They were producing this. They were causing for their armies to be ahead of all of the other armies because of all the iron that they're producing. And they're becoming a better army than anyone else around. And so they are then now terrorizing the Israelites for how long? 20 years. It's a long time. It's a long time. 20 years. And so what did the Israelites finally do? It's like, I get it now. I'm going to cry out to the Lord, right? I'm going to cry out to the Lord for help. And let me ask you, has anybody here ever started out with good intentions? Anybody besides me? But maybe things just didn't, you know, pan out the way that you thought they were going to. Maybe you started an exercise program, or at least you bought the shoes, right? Got a great looking outfit. You are looking sharp. Or maybe you started reading the Bible in 1 year. For the first week anyway, right? Or maybe you wrote out a New Year's resolution to eat less sweets. But in fine print, maybe it should have said, until I see the next dessert menu, right? So trust me, for the Israelites, same thing. Things are no different for them, but unfortunately the consequences are far more serious. In this case, the Israelites really did have every intention of serving the Lord, but unfortunately they kept giving in to the ungodly influence. Somebody say ungodly influence of the nations around them. That's exactly what was happening. And worse yet, those who had started out godly didn't pass it on to their children as they had been commanded. If Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. That's a command of the Lord. Parents, let me just sort of get into your business just a little bit here. It's okay to make your kids come to church. Amen? Come on. Amen? Amen. It's time that our kids see us serving the Lord. They want to see you. They want to see you in church. They want to see you raising your hands. They want to see you in the Word at home. They want to see you making godly decisions. It's our job to stand up and to say, this is the way, walk in it. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will. We will. And unfortunately, though, you're going to find this pattern of good intentions all the way throughout the book of Judges. Let's look at their pattern here. First of all, the Israelites pledged to follow God. We're going to do it, Lord. I promise we're going to do it. We're going to follow you with all our might. We're going to follow you. But then they get pulled into the idolatry of other nations and walk away from God's protection. How many of you know we have an umbrella of protection of God over us? We do. He's protecting us every single day, whether we realize it or not. But did you also know that we have the ability to walk out from under God's hand of protection with our disobedience? We do. And that's exactly what happens. The nations around them attack and oppress them. And so the people once again cry out to God, and he faithfully answers. And once again, they serve the Lord. But do you see how it's like a circle? They just keep making the circle, keep making the circle. And from our perspective, it's easy to get frustrated with the Israelites because it seems like they just don't get it. It's like, what's going on? Do you not get this? But don't we do the same thing? Don't we do the same sometimes when we find it easier to simply, you know, go to, along with the crowd than to stand alone? Or isn't it easier to compromise our values, you know, just a little bit and not rock the boat? It's easier, isn't it, to do that? And that's exactly what the Israelites chose to do. And unfortunately, 2 Timothy 3:5 calls it having a form of godliness, but what? Denying its power. Denying its power. And James, in fact, describes it this way in James 1:14. But each person, say each person, is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? To sin. And when it is full grown, gives birth to death. To death. It's a destructive pattern that we follow when we choose to do that. And in fact, there's really nothing new under the sun. Sounds very similar what they went through to us today, doesn't it? There's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon says. Sin at its root is the same today as in the book of Judges. In fact, the final words of the book of Judges summarize the people's state of mind. See if this sounds familiar. Judges 21:25 says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." As they saw fit. Or in other versions, it says, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Does that sound familiar to anybody today? Go to Burger King, have it your way, right? So let's look at this, because the problem here wasn't just that Israel had no man for their king. They had forgotten that their king was Almighty God. That was the problem. So my first point for us today is this: listen to God. Listen to God. Deborah listened to God. Even though as a whole the people of Israel were struggling, but in his mercy God raised up these judges like Deborah to remind them whose they were. They were God's people, and it was time that they started acting like it. Church, isn't it time we start acting like we're the church of the living God? Isn't it time that we start standing up for what's right? Isn't it time that we remember whose we are? Because we belong to the King. Let's see, what else do we learn about Deborah? Look at verse 4 of Judges 4. It says, "Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at that time." So let's look at what we know about her. We know that she's what? She's married, right? And she obviously has the support of her husband to carry out the call of God on her life. Why do we know this? Because she's blessed, right? She's blessed in what she's doing. People are coming to her. She's ministering to them on a daily basis. And we see that God blesses what she is doing. And, you know, no matter who we are in this room, whether you're a man, woman, or a child, it doesn't matter. If we don't walk under the godly authority of those whom God has placed over us, we won't be blessed. Period. Period. We've got to walk under the authority. She not only had authority, but she walked under the authority that God had given her. And that's important for us today, whether you're in the workplace, whether you're in school, whether you're a grandparent, a parent, no matter what, we've got to walk under that authority if we want to walk in the authority that God has given us. The next thing we learn is that she is a what? She's a prophet. And you see, in the midst of the people all around who refused to listen to God, guess what? Deborah was all ears. She was all ears. She wanted to hear what God was going to say next. She had the ability to discern what God was saying and had the boldness to declare it to the people. And also then we learn that she is a respected judge, all right? She has wisdom from the Lord. She's not just a judge on her own, coming up with her own ideas. This is from God. And in fact, if we looked at Proverbs, which is what, the book of wisdom, right, in the Bible, it says this in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Deborah wanted to hear from God. She wanted wisdom from the Lord. And when we honor the Lord, when our desire is to esteem him and to study his word, he will pour his wisdom and his understanding through us. Are you looking for people to respect you on the job? Are you looking for people to honor you for what you say? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Listen to what he says. Speak wisdom that comes from his word, not from your mouth, but from his word. Remember what Jesus said, "I only do and say the things that," what? "The Father tells me to." And so we've got to be able to listen to him first before we're able to then say it to others. But not only do we need to listen to God, we need to respond to God when he calls us into action. And that's just what we see Deborah doing. Because the next thing that we see in chapter 5 is that Deborah is a warrior. She hears from God and then appoints who? Appoints Barak, right, to lead Israel into battle, and then at Barak's request, rides out into battle with him. Now, you've got to see the irony of this. You've got to see how noteworthy this is in this moment in Israel's history, because, first of all, the fact that Deborah is a judge is significant, because as far as we know, there were no other women judges, all right? She's the only one. But let me tell you, when you've been in the presence of God, there is a mantle of authority that comes over you and empowers you to lead. Empowers you to lead. It comes from the Lord, whoever you are. And that's what we want in our own lives, right? We don't want to lead in our own authority. We don't want to lead in our own power. We want to be empowered by Almighty God to serve and to live, to minister to your neighbor, to minister to that person on the job, to minister to family who doesn't know the Lord. We've got to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us. It's not by might, not by power, but what? By my Spirit, says the Lord. So we need that. You know, and it's interesting. Think of somebody that you know, that when you're around them, you just feel like you've been in the presence of the Lord. Can you think of somebody like that? I think of my own mom. I think of some of these precious ladies back there that are maybe a little grayer around the temple. I think of somebody like Mary Ellen Petrat. Beautiful job, Mary Ellen. Wasn't that lovely? Just really appreciated hearing that this morning. I think of people like Lydia Mitchell, who passed away this year, ministering here for 25 years as pastor's wife. When you were in her presence, you just felt like you'd been in the presence of God, didn't you? Because you know she had. She'd been in the presence of God. And there was that mantle of authority that was over her. Well, secondly, not only is she leading and as a judge, and that's interesting, that's new, that's different, that's unique. But secondly, here's a woman helping to lead the troops out into battle. And I doubt it was because she had a black belt in karate. Okay? And I really, honestly, I find this scene kind of comical because you've got to know at this point in history, this just wasn't done. This wasn't done. Women weren't trained for the front lines. And here's she helping to lead Barak and lead the troops out into battle. In fact, he says, if you don't go, I ain't going. Right? So she's leading the troops out into battle. And, you know, I can relate to this. I can remember being the shortest in my class, being the last one picked in gym class for the teams, you know, not having a whole lot of athletic ability. In fact, if any of my children here have athletic ability, it does not come from me. And they know that. But what Deborah, I know, right? I know. And Nisa's like, yeah, I get it, Mom, I know. She's like the athlete. Several of my kids are athletes in the family. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. But what Deborah had to offer wasn't military might. It wasn't military might. And what Barak was looking for on the battlefield wasn't military experience. He was looking for someone who knew the commander of the armies of heaven. Amen? He wanted somebody who heard the voice of God and was willing to declare it, was willing to have faith on behalf of Israel and declare it and be willing to go out on the battlefield. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to be a warrior? Are you willing to go out on the battlefield for your children, for your families, for those around you, for the kingdom of God? Are you willing to go to war in prayer? Are you willing to get on your knees and do what it takes to pray the cost? Pray the cost to see a revival, to receive revival in our church, to see revival in your own home. She was a warrior, and that's what we need to be able to do as well. But most significantly, here's the result. Results tell the story, right? Look at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 4. It says, then Deborah said to Barak, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Now come on, is that not what we want to happen? When we see the enemy coming and he knows that we're coming and we're approaching with the Lord's advance, don't we want for him to get off his chariot and start running? Amen. And that's what we have the power to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled, when we're ready to go to war and be, you know, march in the infantry, as the kids' song says, I may never march in the infantry. All that, remember? But I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I will obey your command. It doesn't matter whether I've got strength or might on my own. In the Spirit, I've got strength because God is with me. He's the one who's empowering me. And in Judges 5:7, we see that Deborah is known as a mother in Israel. And really, the Bible doesn't tell us whether she was a biological mother or not. And so for you who are sitting in the pews today, whether you are a biological mother or not, it doesn't matter. The question is, are you willing to be a leader? That's what her title meant, that she was a leader. She was a leader in Israel, one who was willing to give her life for the cause of Israel, one who was willing to go to war, one who was willing to put herself out there and be the person that she needed to be, the leader she needed to be for God. And so at the end of chapter 5, it says that because of her actions, that Israel enjoyed peace for how long? For the next 40 years. 40 years. Her faithfulness to listen, to respond, and inspire influenced an entire generation. An entire generation. So my question today for us is this. Where are the mothers and fathers who will lead our culture today? Where are the leaders, people like you and me, just common folk, who will boldly lead rather than follow the crowd? Like Deborah, are we going to listen, to respond, and inspire? 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Are we willing to stand up and be a leader in God's kingdom today? Are we willing to lead a life so full of Christ that others are inspired to hear the gospel message? 1 John 2:2 declares that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. How can we keep that to ourselves? We can't. It's the Great Commission that we would go into all the world and preach the gospel. I challenge you today to take these truths and post them on your heart. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Post that on your heart. Respond when he's calling your name and says, "Won't you just go? Won't you just tell that loved one?" Can you post that on your heart? What about inspire? Are we inspiring those around us to come to Christ? Are we living a life that somebody can look at and say, "I see Christ in you. I see Jesus in you. I feel the presence of God when I come next to you." Do you inspire that in others to want to come and know the Lord? I'd like you to just bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Father, we just come to you today. We love you so much. We want to be the people of God. We want to listen to your voice. We want to respond when you say act. We want to inspire others, Lord, to hear our testimony, our unique testimony that's special and unique only to us, so that others may come to know you.